Doug Karsh, Scott Anderson.
I mean, I got you a bottle of wine.
I like wine. Wine'll be great come February.
Well, great. That'll be about the same time that I get my gift from you.
Yeah, that's right. I just showed you the delivery notice. Ordered January 8th will be delivered, ordered December 8th will be delivered January 8th. Awesome.
Merry Christmas. Must be really special.
Yeah. Handmade.
Look out.
Custom handmade.
Custom.
So the only one that was on time with Christmas gifts this year was Kang. And thank you, Kang, for the Christmas gift.
Well, to be fair, you left the building before I had a chance to give you the bottle. I had a bottle in my
desk.
That's
true, yeah.
You always keep that bottle there, I thought.
Shh. What's in the drawer of Gator's desk?
Not that bottle.
Alcohol.
The other bottle.
Speaking of which, might have played a role last night with Paul Davis.
You think maybe? He's drinking some Twisted Tea.
Dude.
And he had to take one last sip, put it down, and then
I gotta go.
In that situation, you don't know what else to do, so you just, whatever you got in your hand, you just drink it.
Yeah.
Like that's what got you in the trouble in the first place.
So those who don't know, Paul Davis, former Spartan center, was at the basketball game last night, Michigan State hosting USC. Michigan State blowing them out. And late in the second half, I don't know, 4.5 minutes to go in the second half or so, he yelled something unsavory at the official. The official automatically said, "You got to go," and walked over to Izzo, told Izzo what happened. And Izzo's looking across, saying, "Who? Where? What?" And then Paul David stands up, like finishes his last tug on the Twisted Tea, sets it down. And then he like stands up and kind of taps his chest like, "Hello, it's me." And Izzo looks across and goes, "What the F are you doing?" Or what the F is wrong with you? I think it may have been what he said. And then says, "Get him out of here." And they're taking their time of removing Paul Davis from the arena. And Izzo is getting more demonstrative. So what is a mystery, I guess, is what exactly was it that Paul Davis said to the official?
I think it's pretty well established that whatever it was unsavory.
Yeah.
And he shouldn't have said it. And it's embarrassing, but I'm kind of with Izzo. Omega more than it needs to be. However, it's, you know, there's two things I kind of want to talk about out of this. One is, how do you feel about the Twisted Tea? Because the kids love the tweez.
Sure,
the kids
enough.
Love the tweez.
Is that what they call them?
Yep.
Tweez?
Tweez.
I've only had like one or two in my life.
Yeah.
And it was fine. I didn't mind it at all. I think it's one of those things I enjoy if it's a hot summer day. I might even pour it over ice and just sip it. It's non-carbonated, so it's a nice little change up. I don't mind it.
I find them to be too sugary, but they have a light version that quite frankly is flavorful enough. And you like, mm-hmm. it's like, you know how you like zero products,
yeah.
with the zero sugar, zero calories, that whole thing. The light version of the Twisted Tea is just fine.
I'd try it. I mean, yeah. I don't know what the alcohol content is. I mean, it's the reason you're drinking is for the alcohol content. So if the light version is still like a light beer, like 4.5%, okay, I'd still drink it.
Two is, when watching that last night as it transpired, and again, you know, the official, you could see before he blows the whistle to stop play, he kind of turns once. Then he kind of turns again and then blows the whistle and stops play and immediately points at somebody who stood out physically. And at first I thought it looked like a former football player,
yeah,
or something like that.
Yeah, I was concerned about it.
And it was alumni night with the Izzone and all that. So there was, you know, some veteran fans there. And I'm thinking, okay, what's going on here? But they show a shot where you could see a smattering, not everybody, but a couple people around him clapping. And maybe it was just a coincidence they were clapping, or were they like, all right, this guy's he's enough?
I don't know. It seemed pretty obvious. He knew he was gone. And I don't know if people were thrilled that he was being ejected or not. I think it's something that everybody regrets.
I think it's a very regrettable thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And because now there is all this attention. Had it just been Joe Schmo, you know, fan, nobody would care. Nobody would talk about it other than say, oh, yeah,
actually,
they stopped
I
the game and a fan to get ejected. And we'd talk about, hey, why was this guy? But
I was going to bring it up before I realized it was Paul Davis, just because it's so unusual to see a fan get thrown out of a game by a game official.
Yeah.
people getting thrown out of games happens all the time.
Sure.
But usually it's not from one of the officials blowing the whistle and stopping play, yeah. right? So that I was like, well, this is unusual. We'll have to talk about this. And then I find out it's Paul Davis. But have you ever been privy to somebody getting tossed? Or have you ever been that guy to get tossed? And what led to it? Now, let me be clear when I say what led to it. We just need to know the topic, the general topic. We don't need exact quotes that are unairable, but what was the general topic that you heard someone get thrown out for? Or did you?
I don't know why I was thinking about this last night, lying in bed, trying to go to sleep, and I'm just thinking of stuff, right? And I started thinking about when I was younger, mm-hmm. I was in high school, and I used to go to the professional wrestling matches all the time. And we'd go, I think they came every 6 to 8 weeks. They would come either to Joe Louis Arena or Kobo, and my friends and I would go. We did this at least a half dozen times when I was 16, 17, 18, somewhere in that range. And we weren't kicked out. However, looking back on what we did, we should have been kicked out.
Really?
This was just a house show for wrestling. This wasn't a TV show, because now everything is for TV tapings. They don't do many house shows for WWE or AEW. Everything is just for TV. So it's like once a week.
Okay.
Back in the day, these guys used to wrestle 5, 6, 7 times a week, different place every night. So my friends and I made up some signs.
Oh, God.
We got poster board, markers, and wrote up 3 signs that I can remember. The signs that we wrote, the language we used was wildly inappropriate.
Is that right?
Wildly inappropriate. Yes. Yes, very much so. And to this day, I'm like, when I was thinking about this last night, I'm like, what were we doing? Like, had this been a show today, they wouldn't have allowed us in the arena with these signs. But back then, didn't care. Go ahead and come on in. And we held them up, and there were 3 different ones. One was for Bob Orton Jr. at the time, who was known as Ace Orton, Roddy Piper's bodyguard at the time.
Okay.
And we had, I can't say what we wrote on it, but it was wildly inappropriate. We held it up and we had 6 rows so that we thought the wrestlers would see it. Bob Orton Jr. saw it, looked at it, pointed at us, and laughed. And we're like, yes, validation. He saw it. We're laughing. We're all having a good time. Another wrestler, the last sign I'll talk about, was with Leaping Lanny Poffo, who was Randy Macho Man Savage's real-life brother, but not nearly as successful as a professional wrestler. And he was known as the Poet Laureate of the WWF at the time. So he would get announced, and he would read some stupid poem and throw them out to the crowd. He would disperse. They had like 5 of them scrolled up and throw them out. So we had a sign, said, hey, Leaping Lanny, take your poems and blank. We gave him a direction of where to put them and like spelled out exactly. And we're holding it up and we're laughing. And he's throwing the poems out, the scrolls out, and he sees our sign, looks at us, and gives us a look like we had just crushed his soul.
Oh, really?
Like we could not have offended him more. And his feelings were devastated.
Is that right?
And we went from feeling really good about ourselves to, hey, we're having interaction with wrestlers, to we went too far.
Really?
Oh, my God, we went too far. We just broke Leaping Lanny Poffo. Leaping Lanny Poffo is probably going to retire now because fans in Detroit showed up at ringside with a sign that said, hey, Leaping Lanny, take your poems and blank. And I couldn't have felt worse at the time. My buddy and I are like, oh, no. The face is complete dejection. I thought he was going to cry. I was amazed he still went out and wrestled after that.
Wow.
So I should have been kicked out, in my opinion. We should have been kicked out. There were 3 of us, 3 or 4 of us that flat out should have been kicked out because of holding up signs that were wildly inappropriate, which to me, it's the same thing as if you shouted out, right?
Sure. So have you ever been privy to somebody getting the thumb, getting ejected? And what was the topic? You don't have to tell us what they said because it's probably unairable, but what was the topic that got them where they went too far? Kind of like Paul Davis last night. 248-539-9797-971. Doug Karsh, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, we've got a bunch on the table. I think there were some breadcrumbs left by Dan Campbell when he spoke to the media yesterday. I interpreted some of what he had to say of maybe a little bit more sense of urgency, a little bit more aggressiveness where warranted. And I'm not even a guy that freaks out about what they did at the trade deadline, but I just kind of read into what he said yesterday. It's one thing we've been talking about today. Two is the Pistons. Are you comfortable with the phrase, the East goes through Detroit? Have we reached that point where that you're comfortable with that? You're cool with that? It doesn't make you cringe. It doesn't make you go, ooh, no, too early or anything like that. Or does it? 248-539-9797. Talking about Paul Davis getting ejected last night from the Michigan State basketball game. Yes, that Paul Davis, as a fan, said something that he shouldn't have said. It wasn't racial or sexual, according to Tom Izzo, which is good. But he did cross a line, apparently, and got kicked out. When you've seen people get kicked out, what was it that triggered it? And we got just a general topic.
Paul was probably the biggest softball team I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, was he on that celebrity?
Yeah, we had John Jansen played, I think, in the outfield in one inning where T.J. Lang was playing third base and Paul Davis was playing first base. Or one time, I think T.J. may have been in the outfield and Jansen was at third and Davis was at first. You had a guy 6'7" playing third, throwing to a guy who was 6'11" playing first, while T.J. Lang is drinking beers in the outfield at 6'3" or 6'4", whatever T.J. is.
Interesting.
It's fascinating.
Can you laugh?
No, because I thought, Paul Davis was definitely going to get ejected from that game as well. I was like, this guy, man. The mouth on that tall dude over there. Jeez.
Let's get back to your open line call. Steve and Romeo, you're next. Hi, Steve.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, long-time Steve.
Listener.
Thank you.
Got a great story. It's actually one of the highlights of my childhood. March 26, 1997, we went to the Red Wings Colorado game.
There you go.
My uncle's a big wig for Herb Lumber, back when Herb Lumber was a thing, big salesman. They had a suite up there. And Kurt Gibson, I was like 14 at the time, happened to be in there. And my uncle's not a big Red Wings fan, but he's a drinker. So he had a couple Wobble Pops. And him and Gibby got into it. No punches were thrown, just some pushing, some shoving. Next thing I know, we're watching the rest of the game from the TV as we walk out the stadium.
Oh, no.
Ridiculous.
Okay. So
yeah,
you
it
got-
was a great time.
You got thrown out of the famous March 26 game?
Yes.
Before it all went down?
Party, listen, it was a prime night for it. But, my uncle, once got arrested, so he just passed away in July. Once he got a few Wobble Pops in him, he became pretty obnoxious. And I 100% okay. believe it was his fault.
Okay.
I know it was his fault.
So did you get to see the fights in the game, or this happened before that happened?
There was 6 minutes left in the third period.
Okay, so you saw a lot of action. You did see a lot of fights.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely a childhood core memory, being such a diehard Wings fan.
But that's funny.
Appreciate the phone call, guys. Absolutely love the show. Keep doing what you're doing. Have a great new year.
Thank you very much. I just saw one that came in on Ticket Text, and we'll get back to your phone calls in a sec. My 12-year-old brother's soccer game. Now, usually when I see these, I go, oh, God, no.
Here we go.
Parents, the outcome of that, I always think, or brother, your brother case, the outcome of this game does not impact the rest of your life. Trust me. But this is kind of funny. My 12-year-old brother's soccer game, I got tossed out for heckling the kid on my brother's team, who, though very talented, never passed the ball and thus lost more games for them than he won. So this guy, PJ, gets thrown out, and he says, the coach gave me a smiling head nod as I walked past.
Like, you got validation. Like, you got kicked out, but I agree with what you're doing. Keep up the good work.
PJ writes, Doug, Kang, Gator, love you guys. Don't change. PJ, don't worry. We won't. But that's funny that the coach was like, you're right. Ben and Livonia said, did Paul Davis call him DK Metcalf's government name? That's funny. 248-539-9797. Gentlemen, in 1996, I was at a Piston game and I wrote a sign that says, Terry Mills looks like George Foreman. And for some reason, one of the ushers took the sign and said that was not appropriate. We didn't it's get kicked out.
Appropriate. It looks exactly like George Foreman.
We didn't get kicked out, but it was just funny that they took the sign away. That's from Marlon.
Well, you want to be compared to the heavyweight champ? King of the Grill? That's a compliment.
One of my favorite Terry Mills moments was when he was with the Pistons. And I was sitting on the baseline. I was working for Channel 25. I had two credentials. It was me and what was now my wife, girlfriend, was sitting behind me. And Terry Mills went and set a screen for Isaiah Thomas. And he said, twice, he said, "Use it, Zeke, use it." Just like that.
Wait a second.
Every time.
Wait a second. We don't often get the Doug Karsh impression on the air.
Swear to God, that's how he said it.
Use it again.
Use it, Zeke, use it.
That's your Terry Mills impression.
That's what he sounded like that night.
Say it again.
Use it, Zeke, use it.
Is that Marvin the Martian?
I that's what he sounded like. So whenever I see or Terry Mills, I always think, use it, Zeke, use it. It's good.
I mean, he sets you a screen, you gotta use a screen.
Jay, you're on 97.1. Hi, Jay.
Hey, what up, Jay Sherm? Gator's story reminded me of something really funny. It happened to me at the Joe probably about 10 years ago at a Red Wings Blackhawks game where a lot of unique things happen and people get thrown out. And there was a Red Wings fan who took her full beer and unprovoked, I saw this from a couple rows away, unprovoked, dumped it all over like these three Blackhawks fans that must have come in. They were wearing jerseys. And security came over and everyone in the section said, "The Blackhawks fans started it. They started
oh,
it."
Oh, no way.
Without even checking, the security just picked them up, escorted them out, took them. They were gone.
Aww.
And then, like, during the intermission, I felt bad. So I went to the security, like, after the second intermission. I said, "I don't want to be a tattletale, but just to let you know, the Blackhawks fan did nothing, and the Red Wings fan started it." And security looked at me straight in the eye and said, "Don't care."
At that point, it's like, it's done. Yeah. They've been out of the building for 45 minutes, dude. It's done.
Yeah, it doesn't quite seem
there
fair.
There's nothing they could do.
Yeah, not a fan of the beer dump.
I think you really got to earn that. I don't want to waste beer. So, if I'm paying $15 for a beer at a game, I'm not going to dump it on somebody's head, valuable. No matter what they say.
Dave is next on 97.1. Hi, Dave.
You just wait till I finish this beer, sir.
How you doing?
Good. All right, Dave.
So we got kicked out of Tiger Stadium. Me, my dad, and my brother. It's the old Tiger Stadium. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, sorry. And so the Tigers were playing the Blue Jays. It's when Jose Canseco was with the Blue Jays way back then. And we had a few drinks at that bar right beside the stadium. I think it was Billy Martin's bar or something like that. So we had a lot to drink before we got there. We get
the Lindell AC, I think is what you're talking about.
Yeah. No, not the Lindell.
Okay.
But it was, anyway.
Yeah.
So we're pretty drunk when we get in there. And my dad lights up a smoke in the stands. And we're about five or six rows from the field. And Usher comes, tells my dad to put it out, so he does. But a couple of innings later, my dad lights up another smoke. And then we got caught again, and he got a warning. And then Canseco came up the bat, and I was really drunk by this time. And I yelled at Canseco, and I called him an F-ing H-word. And... there's kids right in front of us, and they turned around, and then I yelled it again. I said, "Hey, Canseco, you're this and that." So the ushers came, kicked us out, and I'm pleading with my case, and I put my hand on the usher, and the usher points to the cop and says, "See that guy? That's the next thing you're going to be going with. You guys don't get out now." So we had to leave
so
and
watch the bar. Yeah, probably appropriate.
Yeah, probably.
It's probably what we asked for. We're looking for just a general topic that what you got thrown out. You don't have to quote yourself or others. Just sort of a generality.
It was the summer of 98.
248-539-9797. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1. I'm glad. You know what the funny thing is? I was just thinking about that. I can't believe I've never told you that story.
No, you haven't. I would have remembered that.
It's one of those deals that
it's covered the frog to it.
It kind of was. Terry Mills setting a screen for Isaiah Thomas. I'm sitting baseline with a camera working for Channel 25. God, I would go to everything. My shift would end and I would get off work at 5. After the 5, we had 5:30 news. I got off work at 6, actually. Because our news was on from 5:30 to 6. Channel 5 and Channel 12, their news started at 6. So we our slogan was, see what a difference 30 minutes can make.
Oh, that's trying to actually, get the didn't it say, see what a difference Depker can make? Joel Depker,
who got the job over me. And months later, he got a promotion. I eventually got that job. But, yes. And then we famously had Depker on the air. And Gator asked him, what do you remember about Doug back then? And Depker's response was, I remember that I was better than him, which was hysterical. But anyway.
So you were off work at 6 o'clock.
Off work at 6. And I would grab credentials and just drive to anything I could. Just for the experience. So it was on my own time. Which didn't really go down well with there was a union at the station.
Oh, they didn't like that?
They didn't like that. So there were all kinds of grievances filed against me. But I would be at a lot of Piston games, a lot of Michigan State basketball, Red Wings, whatever I could get to. So experience
you
shooting.
You were using it.
I was using it. I was using the opportunity. Luke is next on 97.1. Hi, Luke.
Hey, guys. Terrific program.
Thanks, Luke.
Good.
It's like 1980 or 81, Tiger Stadium, sitting in left field corner. Tigers are winning 1-0 in the top of the ninth. Seattle comes up. They get a runner on. Otto Velez hits a blast to left field corner.
Who does?
Me and my buddy climb the fence.
Otto Velez. Okay.
Climb the fence. Steve Kemp's playing in left field. So he's running towards the corner, and he leaps. He could have caught it, but my buddy grabbed a hold of Kemp's mitt. The ball hit my hand, and they ruled it a 2-run home run. So that puts Seattle up 2-1. We're getting bombasted with beer, cups, language.
Sure.
The usher comes up to me and says, boys, I think you should leave. And I'm like, yeah, I think so. So we got booted out by the usher, and hundreds of fans were throwing beers and cups at us. We were laughing the whole time. And then we go to my buddy Bob's house and to see on TV, because he had ESPN at the time. And sure enough, they showed it on ESPN. And better yet, the next day, Detroit News. Drayton Holcomb, the photographer, took a nice picture of us interfering with Steve Kemp. And it was great. And the funny thing is, the first thing that mom said when she saw the picture, is like, how come you're not wearing your jacket? We just laughed. It's so funny.
Well, it's something that parents say to kids all the time.
So I love baseball reference because you can go back. It wasn't Seattle. It was Toronto that Otto Velez was playing for at the time. And in 1981, he hit home runs in back-to-back games against the Tigers. So that's kind of fun. And this guy, it would have been the second game because he had 3 RBIs. He ruined it.
Apparently. Okay, speaking of, well, I guess it's not really a transition at all. Did anyone stay up and watch Snoop on the Golden State Clippers broadcast? He was a color commentator for an entire broadcast on Peacock. Yeah.
I did not know that.
Kang, did you stay up and watch Snoop?
No, I didn't, but I saw after the highlights and stuff.
What'd you think?
He's Snoop, man. D-O-double-G.
I felt like I was really rooting for him, and I don't know why I thought it would be any different, But when I saw highlights, because I went back in this morning and just watched highlights.
I'm guessing highlights is probably the best way to watch it.
I was like, okay, this probably for an entire game was way too much. Like, you know, every time, all I saw was the highlights. So that's why I'm kind of asking. In the highlights, it would be like, take it a hole, take it a hole, take it a hole. Nah. You know, he just commented on everything like that.
Don't unload the entire bag of impressions you've got in one show. What are you doing?
Sorry. He never stopped in the highlights. If it was like that the whole game, I imagine.
It would have like a back factor?
Kind of. You know, pass the ball. Now take it to the hole. Like, almost like he was
like coaching more than actually calling to play.
But I wonder if anybody heard the whole thing, if that was the case.
I didn't even know that was a possibility that he was doing it. So now I kind of want to go and check out the highlights of it, because something that's come up on my algorithm several times over the last month or so is when Snoop Dogg and Kevin Hart were doing Olympic coverage and watching dressage with the horses.
Right.
And Snoop is hysterical about that.
It started with Snoop watching nature.
Yes.
And that was great.
Has come up too. Narrating what's going on with, you know, some creature that's being chased by 1,000 garter snakes. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Like it was a lizard being chased by 1,000 garter snakes.
Anyway, if anybody watched the whole thing, I'd be intrigued to find out if it was truly entertaining or was it just too much? Because I was curious, but I wasn't going to stay up that late and knowing we had to work the next morning. But 248-539-9797. Let's go to Dan next on 97.1. Hi, Dan.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
So getting kicked out of the stadium. Do you guys remember back in 2010-11, I don't remember the year, when your guys' friend Jennifer Hammond got a beer bottle thrown at her?
I don't. That ain't right.
It's a Tiger game?
It was a Lions game.
Lions game?
It made the news. Lions lost to Steelers in like a last minute. I don't remember if it was a field goal or whatever. And I had season tickets. I was in right by the tunnel, right behind those guys that dressed up like Lions or whatever. And my buddy was wasted, just hammered, and he was a very, very passionate fan. And Jennifer was standing in the end zone with the microphone. And right when the field goal went through the uprights, he just chucked his plastic Bud Light bottle, and it grazed her. It was bad. It was really bad.
Yeah.
But it was on the news, and it was like Jennifer Hammond assaulted by fan and all this other stuff. I can tell you, you know, from the bottom of my heart, he didn't mean to, like, throw it at her. He was just so mad. He just chucked it. I don't even think he looked where he was throwing. He just chucked it. And it was all over the news and whatnot. And then I go to work the next day. I work with my brother. And my brother's like, how's the game? And I was like, they lost. It sucked. He's like, you see that idiot that threw a bottle at Jennifer Hammond? Oh, and I was like, oh, nope. Don't know what you're talking about.
Not up in here.
But that was my buddy. I ended up getting my seats revoked. It was a couple games left.
Oh,
you got they were your seats?
They were my seats. I had two seats. I took him. Lions knew who he worked. The security was right there. They immediately grabbed him. And, you know, 2 days later, I got the email. Your seats have been suspended for the remainder of the season, which, again, was like two games. I was able to get them back the next year. But, that was my buddy, and, you know.
Whoops. Did your buddy, like, apologize or anything?
He felt like a complete idiot. He felt so bad. Yeah, and I was like, dude, you can't do that crap.
Well, we'll pass it along to Hammer.
Yeah, I'm sure she'll remember, but I swear he meant
sure she
not to even, you know. Yeah. He meant need a name for her.
Yeah, because Hammer's the best. Thank you, Dan. 248-539-9797. Steve in Detroit, you're on 97.1. Hi, Steve.
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
What's up?
Calling in regards to the Snoop broadcast last night.
Yeah.
You guys are absolutely correct. It was like that the whole time. I actually had to, you know, turn away from it because it really got too much. After the first commercial, it was cute. You know, it was dandy and everything like that. But, yeah, he was going in on, like, everything. Like, Not just every play. It was it was everything.
When I heard he was doing this,
being thrown, timeouts, referees. it's kind of like, you know, you ever get like a friend of the family that tries to impress you by watching a game, and they just won't shut up.
Yeah.
And it's like, look, guy, let the game happen. Let the play happen. I don't need you to comment on every play.
It wasn't like he had an opinion. It wasn't like he, what I saw in the highlights again, it wasn't like he had an opinion when the play was over. He was talking through all of the action.
Exactly. It was not like he had any, I mean, it's Snoop, you know. I mean, it's not like you're asking for any depth in terms of the plays or anything like that. But it was just like, it was like a reaction to everything that was happening on the court. It was like watching a game with a 2-year-old, with an attention disorder. Just like everything that was happening, he had to comment on it.
Yeah. You know?
it did get tiresome for a minute, and I did have to turn away or turn the volume down.
Okay. I just wondered if it was too much. I was rooting for him, and then I saw the highlights, and I'm like, ooh, not sure I could handle that for an entire 48-minute game.
Oh, yeah. After the first commercial, it was like, and when he, you know, I guess Reggie, nobody else kind of pinched him or pulled his coat. They just let him go. And then, you know, by the third quarter, you're pretty much, as if you watched the whole thing, you're tired.
Hey, thank you for the phone call, Steve, and thank you for the update. I wasn't going to make it for that. I wasn't that interested, but 248-539-9797. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1. A lot of Pistons discussion today. Given that they destroyed the New York Knicks, bravo to the fans there last night. The stamina and the commitment to booing Jalen Brunson was so impressive. Well done. And certainly happy for all the Piston fans out there that have been through some pretty dark times. It stuck with their team because right now they're looking like they are authentically, perhaps indeed, yes, the best team in the Eastern Conference. It could be some players coming back that might make it a little bit more tough. And of course, playoff basketball is a different style of basketball, but you got to love what the Pistons have done. Hell, starting over a calendar year ago, it continued into this year. And they look like they can make a real run at this thing. And still in Vegas, though, the third favorite in the East and like the 10th favorite to win the NBA. Cade is plus 3,000 to win the MVP, which is, he gets MVP chance every game. Not that that means anything, but fans were into it last night. LCA was bumping. And, you know, I said about the problem with that building is it doesn't have a soul. It's starting to get one. And that, I think, comes, you can have a brand new spanking building, but until you have memories in there, it's just a building. And they're getting close to the point where I start thinking about what postseason basketball could be. They're as good as we think they are. We could be talking about month and a half of playoff basketball, which would be really fun. Hell, we might have it with hockey too.
Well, it'd be nice. And because it was built as a hockey arena and, you know, kind of retrofitted in the way for basketball. And yet it's the Pistons are the team so far that have made the biggest impression when it comes to postseason stuff. So it would be great if we get both teams in the postseason this year. And fully expect to, obviously, with the Pistons, they're off to an amazing start. Red Wings off to a good start, too. They win the game 5-3 last night. It was good to see. They've shuffled the lines around a little bit. They sent Nate Danielson down today. So John Leonard staying up with the big club. And, they're playing pretty good hockey right now. John Gibson, his last 10 games, goaltender of this team, has a .925 save percentage. Done an outstanding job. So this team is coming together at the right time, but they need to continue it. So maybe the right time really isn't until March. So the munch of Marth, as we have said, that it hopefully is an easier transition. What we've seen the last 3 years where it's been a collapse. How about no collapse? No collapse.
Now, unlike the Pistons, right? If you look at the standings, Eastern Conference of the NBA, the Pistons are in first place. Eastern Conference of the NHL, the Red Wings are in first place. But the Red Wings have played 44 games, and the teams that are a point behind have played 41 and 42 games, so they'll probably get leapt here. And I think, realistically, nobody's going to make an authentic argument that the Red Wings are the best team in the Eastern Conference of the National Hockey League. But at this point, I think we would just love to see them like have home ice in a postseason series. You know, that they can, if they can finish in one of those spots, I think they've raised the bar to the point where, I mean, you expect them to make the playoffs, but it just takes one cold streak the way this league is jumbled up. I mean, they are only 6 points out of being out of the playoffs, right? So probably I shouldn't do this, but I want them to have home, I want them to have home ice for a series when maybe I should just be saying, just make the playoffs. Maybe that's more realistic.
Making a playoffs, I think, is the first big step, and it's the necessary step. And if it doesn't happen, then there probably should be changes. But don't need to talk about that because they're playing really well, and they'll have a trade deadline to try to add to this team. Will this be the time that Steve Yzerman decides to add significant piece to this team? They certainly have prospects and draft capital. If they wanted to, they could add a piece, and I feel like they should make the right move and let Yzerman go ahead and make that move. But right now, this team's playing well. Their defense has been vastly different in front of the netminder over the last couple weeks and last several weeks. It's been great to see. And, you know, they're getting scoring from all four lines. And James Van Riemsdyk has been an amazing acquisition for this team. He brings experience and he's putting the puck in the net.
Maybe we'll have time to get in this tomorrow, but I felt like one of the things you put on your show sheet today was you kind of wanted to make a case that maybe we shouldn't overlook Dan Campbell as a play caller next year. Is that an accurate assessment or no?
Yeah, I think there's some interesting stats that back that up. Colton Pouncey of The Athletic had a story that really kind of shows that if you look at just the points, if your sole reason for saying he can't do it anymore is because they scored less points per game than what they did under John Morton, okay, then if that's it, then you're going to say he's got to hire somebody else. But there are other numbers that are associated with that, with what he did during his time as play caller, that would point to a direction to say, you know what, really, take a closer look. They were a lot more successful with him calling plays than you think they were. And we can get into those numbers tomorrow. But there was an interesting piece that that Colton had written. I think they should look at experienced play callers around the league and see if there's somebody they want to bring in. But in the end, it's going to be Dan Campbell's decision.
The one thing he said kind of jokingly yesterday, he said, well, the one advantage of me calling plays is I know I'm not going to leave for another job, which was kind of funny.
This
but
is true.
I got the sense that he's considering it, but not married to it. I was glad he said, look, guys, I'm going to take a deep breath. I'm not making any decisions here anytime soon. Somebody asked him a question. I couldn't even hear what the question was. And he was like, yeah, I'm not prepared to answer that. And I'm like, nor should you be, right? Take your time. You can, you know, let the dust settle a little bit. No emotional reactions. I remember when I first got in the media and they said that there's a 10-minute cool down period after games before the media can ask people questions. I'm like, why do they have that? Then I had the privilege of being in locker rooms when I was part of a broadcast right after games.
Right.
And you realize, I'm not sure 10 minutes is nearly enough.
Right. And I agree with you. We see that in all the sports. You know, before they let you in the clubhouse in Tiger games, there might be some sort of post-game meeting that they have. And you're like, well, we've been out here for 20 minutes. Well, they're not ready for you to go in there yet. Mm-hmm. You know, or you find out at some point down the road that, yeah, there was an altercation that took place after a game, and they have to clear that up. And I think the end of a season is probably, you know, it's a deeper reset, and I think you do need to decompress. It'd be interesting if you talked to Dan Campbell a week from today. If you were to come on the air and talk with the morning show next week, what's cleared up? you know, what becomes his vision that really sets a crystal clear vision for the future with his team, what has to change now that they've had time to go over the personnel and see what changes have to be made.
He did say the first order of business was to sort out the staff. And so, you know, you have any pool of candidates that you have of potential staff members you want to add. If you hear news anytime soon, that means they're amongst the, 18 teams that didn't make the postseason.
Yeah, and we know there is 6 head coaching jobs open in the NFL, so that means that there's a bunch of staffs that are about to be completely opened up.
There's no way in hell Brian Flores ends up here as a defensive coordinator, is there?
I don't think so. There are some rumors that Tom Brady is very interested in Brian Flores to be the head coach of the Raiders. So those are floating around, which would be interesting. I think Brian Flores deserves another chance to be a head coach. I thought he kind of got jobbed a little bit in Miami. He was scapegoated. And I think he's a really good defensive mind. If he were available, if he doesn't get a head coaching job.
Bid, please. I'd call him now.
Yeah.
And I'd say, look, I expect you're going to get a head coaching job. You deserve it.
If you don't, here's 7 million reasons why you might want to be our defensive coordinator.
Yeah, who's the highest paid defensive coordinator in the league? Yeah, we'll give you more than that. That'd be pretty sweet. Now, if you know Calvin Shepard, look, if you can upgrade anywhere, you upgrade anywhere. They're not in the business of keeping Calvin Shepard employed. They're in the business of winning football games, right?
Correct.
Brian Flores, if for some reason he doesn't get one of those head coaching jobs, then have say, we're your fallback position. We're your safe landing spot, which probably isn't going to happen. He probably will get one of the head coaching jobs. Here's Rico Beard in studio. What's up, man?
Hey, guys. What about Cliff Kingsbury?
No.
Gator hates him.
Okay.
Yep.
You know what? See ya.
Well, if there's
how does he make sense? He works with mobile quarterbacks, and the Lions don't have a mobile quarterback.
It was
He was trying to get you worked up.
Don't start with me.
I didn't know he was on the list. No, you know what's funny? I don't know if you've ever done this. Coming up with a show topic, I put on there, what about Cliff Kingsbury as Lions OC? Started doing some research and was like, oh, you know what? Never mind, guys. Just forget about it, because all this is going to bring on is we got to get rid of Goff. He's not mobile calls. Right, so right. How about no to that topic? So.
How about no? You know what? No.
I mean, you guys can do it. I'm so we brought it up because Gator was
Doug
so adamantly opposed.
Carson Anderson said Cliff Kingsbury should be the coach.
Okay. 2-4-8. Let's not do that. What do you have planned? Come on.
Let's not lie to me.
For the Pistons, big game last night.
Huge.
Are people buying in? Like, have you flipped the switch from the football hangover?
It helps. That's for sure.
So
yeah, it's good to have good basketball and good hockey going on in Detroit right now. Thanks for listening, everyone. Stay tuned for the guys. Stay safe. Treat each other with respect. 97.1.